Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au. And now, the human condition.
Yes, to one of my favourite bits of Open House that we have of many, I must say, our great human condition guru, clinical psychologist Lynn Worsley. We've been working our way through the Christian characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. What a world it would be if these kinds of things shaped it more. Love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, and tonight, faithfulness. Lynn Worsley, once again, welcome.
Thank you.
Great to see you.
Good to be here.
So how do we define faithfulness, first of all, from a psychological perspective?
Okay, if we take the term faithfulness, we look at the term as basically saying a person who is full of faith. Okay. I mean, we can look at that as like a personal trait or a character strength that might be measured, but that would imply that faith can be owned or faith can be a thing or almost like a noun, if you refer to it as a noun, like you have it or you don't have it. Mm. But another way of thinking about faithfulness is using the term faith as a verb, an action word or a process, not an end point. But Christians refer to the Hebrew text that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And that text uses two words, assurance and conviction, and they imply more than a character trait or an action. So it's a bit hard to measure. Mm. But psychologists, they like to measure things.
Bless their little hearts.
Yes, and they like to test how effective they are. So something like faith is considered a measurable entity, but as to whether it's a character trait or an environmental factor or one or whatever it is, it's up for debate, and it's actually caused quite a lot of arguments, I think.
We'd hate them not to have anything to do with their time. Yes. So what are some of the studies that they've come up with on faith?
Well, it's interesting. First of all, there's studies on happiness. Like we've talked a little bit on Open House about happiness. But the studies that come through continually show that happy people have a faith or a meaning and purpose in all aspects of their lives, not just in one aspect, but in all aspects. That is that the events and decisions they make in their lives are linked to a purpose and a meaning to their life. And it's not just about being a state of being happy, but rather a purpose and meaning that gives significance to their life. So basically, those who have a faith in a higher being, which is linked to the whole of their lives, are happier and much more fulfilled. And that's been shown over and over again. Other studies on coping and resilience, which is the area that I'm most interested in, they look at people who are connected to a church group are actually a lot more resilient. Mm. And that's come through universally. People who share a faith in a community group who belong to a community group that has a shared faith are often, again, more resilient, particularly if they're going through adversity. But young people who develop within a faith group develop more resilience. So that, again, is very interesting and something we can't actually push aside and say, oh, you know, that's just a faith as in a noun, they might have it or they don't.
Yes.
It's a process of developing resilience. And the other one is religiosity or religiousness versus personal inquiry. A lot of work's been done on that one. And they basically look at studies of religious people and see how they cope. And actually they find that religious people themselves are not necessarily better at coping or have better mental health. However, if they have a personal inquiry in their religiousness, so they're actually critically evaluating what's happening in their faith or their journey, or they're not just blindly accepting it.
Okay, yes. Okay.
They themselves are much more resilient or mentally healthy. Now, that's supported by David Rosemarten, I think that you actually interviewed.
Yep, last week.
From
exactly
Harvard.
The same thing.
Yes. Now, the other one is religious practices versus spirituality. There's quite a lot of studies looking at people who have religious practices but versus people who are deeply spiritual. And these studies show that when a person's spiritual life actually permeates their whole of their life and it influences all their decisions. It actually has a much greater effect on their mental health, their coping skills and their levels of well-being.
Okay.
It's a bit like an integration of their faith with their lives. Now, these studies are the most interesting, and we have a treasure in an academic called Maureen Miner from UWS. And she's led a lot of these studies in her work, and she's been quite pivotal in putting Christianity and psychology together in the academic arena.
And unashamed to do so, because to some it would be quite a controversial thing to do.
Yes, yes.
I find it interesting, that distinction between, as you said, blind faith and people who have an inquiring mind and their faith is continually reassessed or redeveloped.
Yes.
That's a very interesting distinction.
It is. It's a very interesting question. And the studies about that looking of blind faith, or that sort of almost like gullible faith, versus the sort of inquiry, is very evident in the work on resilient aging. So when you look at people who have aged well and coped with the various transitions in their lives and have an attitude of continual learning and developing and growing, these people have a belief system or a faith that actually permeates their whole lives. So they're not just Sunday Christians. They're not just pew warmers. These are the people who actually don't just keep the rules, but actually have a faith that's integral in everything that they do and has a moral purpose.
Because this is the day and age where if you have a faith in such a secular society, it really probably is more serious than it used to be, in the 50s and 60s, when it was considered the right thing to go to church.
That's right. That's right.
And quite a costly thing sometimes these days too.
Yes.
I'm always glad to look at these concepts in a practical way in the human condition. So how can we do that with faithfulness? Let's get practical.
Okay. If we look again at that spectrum, now I've talked a lot about the spectrum of hope versus fear. If we look at the spectrum with fear down one end and hope at the other end, and if we look at fear, if we're focusing on fear, we actually react by trying to hold on to the things that we can control and can see and know. Now, that means that we fall into the trap of avoiding risks, doing safe things, keeping the rules, and practicing religiosity, or the conventional way of doing things in our practice of our faith.
Yes.
It's not faith, but rather that's insurance.
Yes.
Okay? Yeah. And now we're at a time in the world where we've got litigation in the back of our minds. We make sure we don't get caught doing the wrong thing. We have insurance policies, life insurance, and occupational health and safety, which drives me nuts in my workplace. But we focus so heavily on the bad things that might happen that we spend our time trying to prevent them. Again, that is insurance, and that's focusing on the fear.
Mm.
When we focus on the hope end, that is faith. When we look at the hope, that is the assurance, not insurance, the assurance of things hoped for. It's on the other end of the spectrum. So assurance is a belief that it actually will happen. And faith is also the conviction of things that you don't know about, you can't see.
Otherwise it wouldn't be faith.
That's right. Yeah. So it's completely risky.
Yes.
So to be full of faith is to live your life in the hope end with plans are made according to God's purpose and meaning. And this often means taking risks, making decisions with the knowledge that God has a plan, but you may not actually see the plan.
Yeah.
Now, how does that look? We can go back to the retrospective accounts of those who are incredibly faithful. They make decisions of integrity, often hard decisions. They involve holding onto their belief in faith, at sometimes at the cost of their own lives. So why? Because they have an assurance of things that are hoped for, and that conviction that things that they can't see are actually true.
So if it's not something we can possess necessarily, how do we build a sense of faith or faithfulness in our lives?
Christianity is not a religion. We need to be very careful.
Oh, you said that.
It's a relationship.
That is so true, yes.
It is a relationship. It is not a religion. So if we hold on to our faith of Christianity, then we then have a deep personal relationship with God that no other person can have for us. And our relationships are all different with God. So the process of the relationship with God is faith. Mm. The faith is the process. How do we build our relationship? Well, it's a bit like how you build your relationship with a friend or with a relative or with your wife or with your husband. You do it by spending time with them. So if you build your relationship by spending time with God. And if you want to build a relationship with another person, you do more than just send them text messages in your spare time or spend time on Facebook.
You're so not Gen Y.
So we spend time thinking about God, and we spend time thinking about what His desires are for the people in our lives and the people and our own lives. So what's interesting is that when we spend time with our friends, we actually start to become a bit like them, and it's the same with God. If we spend more time with God, we start to change and we start to see things a little bit more from God's perspective.
Yes.
So spending time with Him, that's a practical thing, reading the Bible, praying and meditating. Now, psychologists call this mindfulness. Christians call it spending time with God. Same thing.
Which includes meditating.
That's right.
I was speaking to a very special guest I'm attempting to have on our final show the end of this year in December. And he said, I'm a Christian meditator. Hmm. And I said, what do you meditate on? Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus.
Wow, that's beautiful.
But it's not a conventional kind of Christian thing of conservative Christians, is it, meditating?
Well, there's these wonderful people, like we've got Thomas Merton and Henry Nguyen, the contemplatives, who spend time with God just contemplating. And you read their work and they basically just say, go and open your mind to God. Be in a place where He can talk to you.
Yeah. I find it interesting when a lot of people would hear the word faithfulness mentioned, they'd think that in terms of marriage and faithfulness or unfaithfulness, but it's interesting that it appears to be a different kind of meaning here.
Well, yes and no. If you think about it,
it could incorporate it.
That's right. If you think about faithfulness, you're full of faith. And so your whole body and your whole life is incorporated in that being faithful. If you're married and you're in a relationship and you're faithful, your whole life is around building that other person up, thinking about that other person, being in a place that actually enables them to grow. So unfaithfulness is pulling away from that.
And you're saying, whether it be God or my wife, in terms of faithfulness, it also requires work.
That's right. That's right. On both sides.
Yes, indeed. I've noticed. In good ways, I must say.
Yes.
I must add. So is there a personal example you can leave us with of faithfulness? And again, how it works out practically. I always want to be practical.
Yes. Recently, I've talked to a young woman who's been going through a really tough and difficult time with the loss of a parent. Sudden loss of a parent. And a young parent at that. What is really evident is her faithfulness in the assurance of hope of new life for her parent. She knows where that parent will be, and the conviction that every step that she takes from now on is based on the relationship that she has with the living God that she can't see, hear, or touch. Mm. Now, she openly talks about it, but she's sad. She's relaxed in the peace as the result of the relationship that she's got with God, but her family are not Christians, and so they're watching on her and trying to work out why she has this peace. And I think that her faithfulness is very evident. And what's really nice too is that she's spending time reaching out, a bit like Nathan is at the moment.
Yes.
Reaching out for people that are there in their world, looking out for them, their strengths. Whereas oftentimes our reaction is to withdraw and pull away in those processes. So her faithfulness means that she's reaching out where God has placed people with wisdom, with love, with hope around her, and she's latching onto us.
What a wonderful story, yes. Mm. So next week, gentleness, as we approach the end of the fruit of the Spirit.
I'm going to practice gentleness all week so I can be gentle on Sunday night.
I'm sure you will, and we'll be asking questions next week.
Thanks, Luke.
Lynn Worsley, thank you so much indeed.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.